Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Jasmine Opperman, terrorism specialist focusing on terrorism in Africa. And want to find out from her, was the incursion?
Insurrection.
You know what, I'm always, you know.
Close.
Was it a failed coup? Was it a tactical plan of shutting the country down? Good morning, Jasmine. How are you?
Good morning and morning to your listeners.
All right. So Jasmine, what's your thought? Do you think that the insurrection was a plan of shutting the country down and why?
No, I don't think it was. I think we should be realistic that there were elements with political goals and also initiators that wanted political benefits from this. But if you look at the situation overall, the communities in South Africa, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, were already on the edge. All you needed was that moment where the light hit, or the flame hit the fuel. And that gave way to a highly emotional and spontaneous response. So to call this an insurrection is simply a complete oversimplification of what has happened.
So was this in effect then just a manifestation of the divisions within the ANC? Is that what we have witnessed?
Exactly. If you look at KwaZulu-Natal, and I think this is where we have to make the distinction. The first 2-3 days following Zuma's incarceration, you could see that there were political instigators, that there was a political motive, not necessarily related to all being pro-Zuma, but showing their dissatisfaction with President Ramaphosa and his decision. They had some level of control. But to blame this and to say we had the dirty dozen able to control so many spontaneous reactions is ignoring the harsh realities of our society.
Jasmine, I think it's the level of sophistication that was involved in this that took me personally by surprise. You quoted in a News 24 article as saying the political objective in fomenting unrest and calculated road closures. I mean, this was well thought out. This wasn't a spontaneous event.
What is important again, and I think it's a very important issue you raise, we must make a distinction between the first 2-3 days and what happened thereafter.
Okay.
That is to say, what has happened in KwaZulu-Natal. Clearly, you had political objectives. Clearly, you had political instigators with political objectives. And they could, at that point in time, still maintain some level of order, some level of directing the actions. But then it started spiraling. And that spiraling cannot be seen under the same blanket as what has happened during the first 2-3 days. So was this a coup attempt? Was this an insurrection? Well, the courts will have to prove, because then it means the ANC executed a coup against itself.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. But that the former president has support in KZN cannot be ignored, cannot be downplayed. And I think this is why so many questions are being asked about our intelligence structure not providing the necessary early warning on the implications of that decision.
Because let's be honest, there was a total failure on the part of the security systems, structures. There was a total failure on behalf of police. If it wasn't for civil society, don't know where this would have ended. What is your take on the response by civil society to the unrest that we have experienced?
I think there is as much as people got down, everyone suddenly knew this was coming. Amazing how many soothsayers we have in this country. But
could also have been the posters. You know, it could have been the posters on the street poll ads in KwaZulu-Natal.
WhatsApp groups.
Hashtag just saying.
But the fact of the matter is, let's talk intelligence. If you talk early warning and you are talking tactical early warning and you warn the president, there are problems coming, or the minister of Bekele, and they didn't take action. Why is it that the intelligence structure did not use all available means to get the message out? That means, why did they not go to the Constitutional Court? That they are being ignored with a development with profound implications for national security.
Mm.
And hence, it's all these complexities that raises serious questions about where we stand with our intelligence services.
Why do you think it took the government so long to react?
I think for a brief moment, out of their depth, for a brief moment, they underestimated what was happening. Remember the first, again, I'm going back to the first 2 days. You had these responses. You had some level of control. What they did not expect and what they were not briefed on was the civil society in Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal, the last part of the responses, already highly securitized, highly irritated and frustrated, and went out to get as much economic benefits from this by taking what they can from shops. And the moment they realized that the police is not in a position, it just spiraled into the abyss. And wasn't it for civil society, your business communities, your taxi associations, wasn't it for them standing up and saying, this is not acceptable? We would have had even far-reaching problems. And that is the good news for me in all of this. A civil society not willing to support this level of anarchy.
So the SANDF were allowed into the buildings at the SABC.
Look, okay. At the end of the day, we had a crisis moment in South Africa. And we had a situation where the SANDF had to be deployed. I do support that action. I do not support the military being used as a general on domestic levels. But entering the SABC building, for what purpose? For what reason? For clearly, there was not anarchy within the SABC. And I question the intent in a show of force, or what was actually at play here in enabling people access to that building.
Jasmine Opperman, we're going to leave it there this morning. Thank you so very much for your time,
you,
as always.
Thanks, Jasmine. Have a
and
wonderful
have a
day.
Have a beautiful Women's Day.
And to you, okay, too.
Thank you.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.